you could have a kid at home for free. No one can stop you, right?
Yes.
But that's really hard, right? To like not have a doctor there. And to, there's a lot of risk. It's very scary, but there's a trade-off, right? Same thing with like, oh, we can never afford daycare. Oh, and
then on top of that, their food is free for a long time.
Right, exactly.
If you can breastfeed, which is harder, there's risks.
So then, yeah, and then he talks about a bunch of different things. It's the same thing with dating, right? We talk about this. I'll never find someone. I'm going to be single forever. Okay. You can find someone. It's just going to take a lot of work and time and effort. You have to put yourself in a position to be found. What does that mean? You have to live a public life. You have to go out. You have to meet people. You have to be seen, whether online or in person. You need to move to a place where someone you would want to marry would be, and try over and over and over and over again. What you're really saying is, I will never get married. I'll never meet the person I'm supposed to be with in my current situation where I'm like comfortable. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that's been nominated to the cabinet of the department of the well, we're at the head of the Secretary of the Interior. It's your boy Ethan.
And I'm Patrick, and this is a Catholic podcast where we talk about topics and joke around.
I think we should be the secretary.
You should get press secretary.
You think I should get press secretary?
I think you should get press secretary. If you were nominated to the cabinet of Donald John Trump, what appointment would you prefer?
Who up pressing the secretary? Well, if I was nominated to the cabinet of Donald John Trump, what would I pick? If I had my choice, DOD.
Sick. I'm trying to come up with a she blank on my blank till I blank with the where the last word is filibuster, but I can't figure out. I can't figure out what the joke is.
Filibuster?
Yeah, right?
Darn near.
She majority on my whip.
Yeah. She whip on my majority. She whip on my majority till I filibuster is the correct.
There you go.
I think the only way to get there.
But I think the filibuster is in the Senate and the majority whip is in the House of Representatives.
I don't think it matters. It doesn't matter. No.
Yeah, it does. She Mitch on my McConnell.
Poor Mitch McConnell, dude. It's you spend decades looking like a lizard, and then you end up getting left behind by your own party. You know,
that sucks, dude.
It's sad. I would want to be DOD because in the 2007 film Transformers, John Voight played the Secretary of Defense, and I mean, he got to see Sector 7. He got to meet Optimus Prime. He got to see the cube. I would like that job, please. I want to go to the Hoover Dam. I want to go to the Hoover Dam, and I want to see the what's the name of the cube in Transformers? Dang it!
The Matrix.
No. Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. I can hear Optimus Prime. The Allspark. Thank you.
The Allspark. I almost said the Allstate. like a good neighbor, Optimus Prime is there.
Yes. She bumble on my bee till I transform.
There you go.
That's something.
Shia on my lobo.
That's a Catholic movie now that Shia has converted. That's
the shit it is. Transformers and the Catholic imagination.
That's actually the if I could do anything. If I had $1 billion, I'd be like, Bishop Barron, I'll give you whatever, as much money as you want, but you need to do a video series, a high quality Word on Fire video series on the Transformers movies. And you have to take it seriously. You have to do it for real.
It can't be a joke.
You have to seriously analyze the joke in Transformers 2.
The late great Hans Urs von Balthasar.
Yeah, when he sees the two balls dangling on the giant Transformer in the second movie, he can be like,
"Do they have truck nuts in the second Transformer movie?"
It's not truck nuts. It's like a massive. So there's the transformer that sucks up the Egyptian pyramid. And you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
It sucks up the Egyptian pyramid, and John Turturro is there. And it has two big balls. Yeah. And the tiny funny robots are like, look at the balls. And it's like I remember walking out of that movie, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, with my mom. And I was like, I remember vividly saying, that was the best movie I've ever seen. Which, to be fair, I think when you're 12, it is.
You know? It's like, that was the best movie I've ever seen.
I don't think I had seen a better movie to that point.
That's great.
You know,
I felt the same way about Chicken Little.
Yeah, that's true. Chicken Little is good. I think if you have vague. Chicken
Dude,
Little
I miss,
is great.
Hold on. Pause.
Go ahead. Yeah,
I
good.
Miss when they would come out with custom 3D glasses for the movie. We all had Chicken Little 3D glasses.
Now all they make is like Fleshlight popcorn boxes that you have to.
Yeah.
That they're like, you want to have sex with this one?
They don't make fun little boxes. They don't make fun little glasses anymore.
Yeah.
They make the flop. They don't even make the ones that look like this. The ones where you can pop them out and pretend you're a nerd. And then six years later, you get those actual glasses.
Yeah, the real D3D glasses.
Yeah. We used to get those, and we used to have Nerd Day in my middle school, where mm-hmm. it was like a thing mm-hmm. that we would all get together and decide when Nerd Day was. And we would all dress as nerds. And then in eighth grade, they banned it because they thought it was bullying people. Mm. And I was like, no one dresses like this. And then a kid got sent to the principal's office because he was dressed like a nerd. But that was just how he dressed. It was a great day. It was a fun day.
That's so funny, because then you can just any day, you can be like, Patrick, today's not Nerd Day. And you could just at any moment, you could just rip someone.
That was the deal. Yeah.
That's the whole appeal of having a Nerd Day.
It was great. And then 2 years later, when my brother went there, they had Spirit Week, and one of the days was Nerd Day. And I was like,
today.
My culture is not your costume.
You're carrying on the tradition right now.
Damn.
Keep going.
I walked right into that one.
You did. I'm proud of you.
But it was like, looking back, it's funny because we would wear those real D3D glasses with the lenses popped out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the black, like thick horn rim glasses that I just wear now.
For me, it was always dressed like a jacked Chad day.
And that's what you are now.
And I'm still living it. I've been working out again. Can I say that?
That's good. Yeah, please do.
I've been back under the iron.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It's actually massive. Because I finally got all this bunch of junk out of my garage, reorganized it, cleaned it when I was on paternity leave, which was like I took 3 days off. And then some afternoons.
Yeah.
And I was able to clean my garage, and I got all my weights set back up. And then over my lunch breaks, I've been lifting.
Dude, that's huge.
Oh, we made 5 pounds of beef on Sunday. Well, Emma made it. And I've been eating the beef every day for lunch. So every day I get like a third. There's some rice. I get like a third to a half a pound of beef for lunch.
That's what you need, man.
And I've just been cranking protein bar for breakfast, protein shake right after the protein bar. That's 40 grams. I'm sculling 40 grams.
Did you know that a double quarter pounder with cheese, no bun, is actually not bad in terms of protein to calorie ratio?
No bun. I didn't know that.
Bun's like 200 calories of nothing.
That's fine. I actually need more calories. I'm trying to gain weight.
So, you like, know? A double quarter pounder with cheese has 60 grams of protein in it.
Dude.
That's a lot.
RFK is going to try to take it away from us.
No, RFK is going to make them make the beef, like, get all the fillers out of it. That's what RFK is going to do.
I hope so.
Yuta was like, RFK needs to make McDonald's taste the same, but be healthy. And that's what RFK is going
to
do.
I would do an RFK impression, but I'm scared it would come out really bad. That's one of those impressions you have to work on. You can't just, like, try it, you know.
I've never heard him talk.
That's not true.
I've managed to make it this long.
You don't.
I've
know
heard
what he
about the brain
like?
Worms. I've heard about the bear in the woods. I've you, heard about all these things.
Are you being 100% serious? Like, if you,
I'm being 100% serious, I've never heard RFK talk.
Dude, we got
it. Is
we
this
gotta
like
pull
never
up.
Hearing Trump talk? Is it? Is
it kind of
iconic?
Is. His voice is insane. RFK Jr. Let's see what his most
recent.
Hold on,
I want to describe what I'm imagining his voice is. The way he looks, I'm picturing like a deep, gravelly, New York adjacent accent. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm pulling it up. This is his. This is him dropping out and endorsing Donald J. Trump. Share my screen here. All right, do you see him?
Yes.
Okay, can you hear him?
I'm sorry to keep everybody waiting. 16 months ago, in April of 2023, I launched my campaign for President of the United States.
Oh, he sounds so old.
No, I think he had throat cancer or something, so his voice is all screwed up.
Oh, that's what it is.
It's crazy that you didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that must be. Makes him sound like he's a lot weaker than he looks. He looks.
I know that's the problem. A lot of people said that if he had his full voice, that he would have swept. He would have swept the election.
Probably.
Hold on. I'm gonna pull up Tim Dillon's impression of RFK. You're gonna love this.
Oh no, that's
a lot of fun. Him and his wife are fun. His wife is Cheryl from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, what a combo.
She's awesome and she's really fun, and he's a little more serious because the CIA killed his whole family.
Yeah. Way to bring the energy down, Tim.
She's very like, you know, she'll be like, I love strawberries, and then he's like, there's a bomb in the car. Cheryl, there's a bomb in the car.
Dude, I love Tim Dillon. He's so funny.
So I don't know if you understand. I don't know if what I'm about to say makes sense, but his impression sounds more like RFK than the RFK clip did, actually.
Correct.
That impression sounds more real. That's more accurate to what now I think his voice sounds like.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
RFK is going to line up the Costco family and shoot them in the head. I think he's going to systematically exterminate. It's going to be RFK Jr. versus the Rizzler, and it's going to be televised live on
MSNBC. I still haven't gotten any. I can't find any intel on who the Rizzler is and why.
He's like 8. Why would you be able to find anything? But you can't find any information on any 8-year-olds.
He's not anywhere. Well, he's the most famous 8-year-old now. He's not related to them. He's just a kid that they found. How did they get connected?
Full name. When I search the Rizzler full, the first thing that comes up is full body, which I don't know who's searching that. His real name is Christian Joseph. The U.S. son. Who is Jimmy Fallon's guest, the Rizzler? And how did Christian Joseph become famous on TikTok? Third grade became an internet sensation after wearing a Black Panther costume in a hilarious video where he showed off his natural comedic skills. He's best known for doing the Riz face.
He wore a Black Panther costume? Just the chubbiest white kid in a Black Panther costume. I love it.
The 7-year-old raises one eyebrow, drops the other, sucks in his cheeks, and pouts his lips slightly. He also strokes his chin as if deep in thought. Other TikTok users have tried to copy the expression with hilarious results. He tried to teach Jimmy Fallon how to do it, and it wasn't overly successful. So he just got famous on TikTok like any other kid, and then he just got pulled into Big Justice's dad.
That's the thing about the Rizzler, though, is he can't carry. You know what I mean? Like
He's 7.
I understand.
Seven.
Correct. Little Justice.
That's so funny. Like, you're never going to make it in this business, kid. He's 7.
He's got one bit, all right? He's got to expand his repertoire.
That's what child acting is you have a bit, and then you ride it until you hit puberty, and then everyone decides whether or not you're hot, you know?
Dang.
And if you are, you get to keep getting gigs. You just have to do what the producers say. You got to go to their trailer. It's just how Hollywood works. I'm not joking. So what happened to Shirley Temple?
That's what happened to Jeanette McCurdy.
Animal crackers in my soup. Monkeys and rabbits, loop the loop. It's a metaphor.
What?
Keep going. What were you saying about the Rizzler?
Oh, the Rizzler can't carry. He needed big justice and little justice. Because, or it's AJ, which one's, I don't know, it's Big Justice.
AJ is the dad, and Big Justice is the kid, and the mom's name
is just... It's confusing that
Big
Justice is the kid. Right. It's also weird that you knew that.
It's the mom's name is Mother of Big Justice, which I feel like is sexist. She doesn't get a name.
And the daughter?
I don't know the daughter's name, but there's another...
Is she just name?
There's another homosexual involved named Jersey Joe. It's like a whole... Listen.
I like the Costco family.
My child is awake at 3 a.m. and I have to do something while I'm
up. I like the Costco family.
I can't just take Google certifications all night. You know, I need to mix it up with something.
Do you do Google certification?
Yeah, I did one last night. I got my Google Display Ads certification.
Nice.
Felt great. Love getting into the old skill shop and mixing it up. No, I do think RFK should line up the Costco family and put a bullet in the back of their skulls. But he needs to display his strength. He's got the voice problem. What better way to let the country know he's serious about health and fitness than by executing America's unhealthiest family? I don't think he should do that.
They need to stop feeding that kid chicken bakes.
Dude, yeah, the Rizzler is going to die before he turns
The Rizzler is too nine. Large. He's too large.
He's also so comically small. The funny thing about the videos is that if they're all sitting at the table, he looks like about the same size as everyone else. But when he was on Jimmy Fallon, his feet didn't even go over the edge of the chair.
He was like laying on it like it was a Shea lounge. He was like laying out. He was kicked up.
Yeah. Did you see Jimmy Fallon get upset sneakers. Every time that they turned to the camera and did the boom thing? Jimmy Fallon just got so mad. There's like a compilation of him. It's so funny.
Can you please stop? Thank you.
I love it when Jimmy Fallon gets mad. I love it when any late night host other than Conan O'Brien. Actually, I like it when Conan O'Brien gets mad because then he at least makes it funny. I just think you should respect Conan.
You got to respect Conan. Yeah.
No, I think I'm excited. I'm excited to get rid of the... I'm excited to get McDonald's back. I'm excited to get rid of all of the things that are... slowly killing
I'm excited
us
to get rid of the
us.
Department of Education. I think it's very important to get rid of the Department of Education.
Why is that? Because you hate kids and learning?
No, it's actually quite the opposite. The Department of Education is not doing what it was set out to do. It was founded 45 years ago to fix our education system, and it didn't. And if I had 45 years to do something... I didn't do it. I would get fired. You know, so
How do you feel about Elon and Vivek working together?
The Department of Government Efficiency?
Yes.
The horse is in the hospital, baby. I'm excited. That's all I've been thinking as I scroll through Twitter. I'm like, the horse is back in the hospital, baby.
I don't know
it's
what
gonna
that
be
means.
Even more. There's a John Mulaney bit from the early days of the Trump administration where he's like, it's like there's a horse loose in the hospital. And everyone's asking, how did the horse get in the hospital? What are the implications? The horse doesn't know how it got there. We don't know what, you know, it's so he compares Trump to a horse loose in a hospital, which I actually don't think is very fair. But anyway, it's very clear he knows what he's doing now. And so I'm like, I'm happy that the horse is back in the hospital. It's time. Do you remember the early days of the Trump administration? The first one?
The first one?
It was crazy.
No, I was busy trying to get invited to sorority date parties to be following any sort of policy.
Like, it was like the OJ trial. All of these wacky guys, these wacky characters getting pulled in the spotlight. Who is this guy? Steve Bannon was in charge of everyone who worked at the White House. It was wild. Uh-huh. Half of them are in jail now. It's crazy.
Steve Bannon just got out.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Half minus one.
Yeah.
On trumped up charges.
Oh.
But now it's like Marco Rubio, the guy from Fox and Friends, the lawyer who may or may not have done weird things with kids. You know, it's like it's a little more Washington. You know, it's not like the guy from Breitbart, you know?
Yeah, Alex Jones. That's true. You know? That's true. It's like they're still weirdos, but they're our weirdos, you know?
They're the weirdos that have been here, you know? It's like they do normal Washington things, like play with the age 18. You know, they kind of jump that line a little bit. They do normal Washington things.
When your roommate gets drunk and punches a hole in the wall, you're like, dang it, Jerry. But like when the guy who's like your girlfriend's brother's friend who's in town for the weekend gets drunk and punches a hole in the wall, you're just like, this is, you get so mad, you know?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't live here. He's not from, he's from Columbus. Get him out of here. Why is he here?
Go away.
Yeah. That's how I feel. I mean, I have a topic. Do you want to talk? We don't really do topics anymore, but I could do a topic if you want.
Yeah, I'd like to know your, I'd like to know your topic. Is it a political topic?
Now that I'm singing, I don't really want to do a topic anymore. I'm kind of feeling a little gospel session with you. What do you think? We should, you know what we should do? I always talk about how we should go and do things. We should put we should go join a black choir.
I think they would dig it.
I think they would like it. I've got a great falsetto, so I could be out up front. You've got a good, you've got beautiful dulcet tones. Yeah. And so you could be back there. You've got wonderful tones.
Yeah, I killed it at the company karaoke party.
Yeah, you want to talk about it?
No, I think I've already talked about it.
No, you told me on the phone that there was a karaoke party, but you haven't you didn't tell me anything about it. What did you say?
I sang My Heart Will Go On. I only did like the verse and the first verse in the chorus. It was great. Here, I did not hit the note.
Here, there's none.
the toad meme. That was me the whole time.
I love the toad meme.
You know what
dude.
I'm talking about?
I love the videos of the toad at the real Super Mario World where like he just does this little dance and the white girls go up to try and take a picture with him and he chases after him and they all scream. I love that video so much.
I did My Heart Will Go On and that kind of got people loose. People were like, all right, if Pat can do that, I can do my song too.
Sure.
And then I sang Creed's Higher. That was fun.
Wow.
I was like, I'm going to do one where I can sing like in earnest.
Can you take me high? Yeah, there's not really the dynamic range on that song is pretty.
It's very low. Pretty small. But you could you can like swing it. Right.
Yeah.
And then me and three other guys did I Want It That Way. We did a Backstreet Boys song. It was fun.
Dude, I think I would do, if I did a karaoke now, I would do the all-star. Now that's what I call alt-right dog whistle songs.
This was not today. Oh, okay. There was a karaoke thing that was on the that was happening and I left that. I was not involved with that.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Separate karaoke instead.
If I did karaoke today, I would do that. Now that's what I call alt-right dog whistle music. And I would do YMCA. I would do Higher by Creed. I would do.
That's all right, dog whistle.
I think so. I think Creed is definitely right wing coded.
Yeah.
I would do Little Dark Age. I would do. What's one more song? I would need four to round it out. You know, one for each year of making America great again.
Again.
I would just sing YMCA again. I would just circle back and double back on YMCA.
Nice. Tiny Dancer. You played that one from the
Tiny Dancer.
Yeah, that's the song that was playing during the Ruth Bader Ginsburg thing. Trump.
Yeah.
Trump, show me, like, show me, hey, President, show us where they shot you.
That's pretty good.
I don't know if someone's done that yet.
No, I'm sure they have. Well, I'm proud of you for doing karaoke. Good work, man.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It's a good time. Your topic, please.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Your topic or your life?
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch.
sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ethan, I'm running into a bit of a problem.
Again?
I accidentally introduced my son Leo to television and movies. Uh-huh. And it's so sick because he wants to see Jungle Book so bad. He asked me, like, Jungle Book? And he's so cute, and I want to show him Jungle Book, but I also don't want him to be addicted to television for his entire life. Have you experienced this yourself?
Yes, my son really loves Peter Pan, and so every day it's see Captain Hook, want to fight Captain Hook. So we are deep in the minds.
Same boat.
In the grip of 1930s Disney films.
They really got that stranglehold.
They do.
I was thinking, you know, I was talking to Phoebe, is like, what are some ways that we can, you know, kind of, because it, one way to go is like, I'm going to cancel out digital stuff entirely, but you know, it's unrealistic. I want to like set up rules and stuff for my family, like some kind of structure that we can use and stick to.
Sort of like a code to live by.
Mm. Are you familiar with any place that I could get such a thing?
Or a Benedictine monastery.
Yeah, right. A rule of life or something. Do you happen to know anyone who's had 16 children and could help me out?
I do. There's a guy named Connor who actually wrote a book about this very thing, if you can believe it. It's called The Well-Ordered Family. And contained therein is the Well-Ordered Family Management System. So it takes out all of the guesswork, all of the confusion, all of the, how do I know how much time and energy put into this? How do I make sure that we got this taken care of? How do I invest for my children's future? In more ways than one, it's all there in the Well-Ordered Family, which I really appreciate.
Nice. And I believe they sent us a discount code for our our viewers. They can get 50% off the book.
Is that true?
Is really, that's a really solid discount, actually. So
hold on.
Go to wellorderedfamily.com.
I'm going there right now. .com. Yeah.
If you go to wellorderedfamily.com, you put that book in your cart, and you use the code CRUNCH50, you'll get 50% off the book, which is great. You can go through the system, check it out, and then see what Connor has to offer.
Yeah, go to wellorderedfamily.com, and up at the top, you click get the book, and that'll take you to the book purchase page. Oh! And then coupon code CRUNCH. I'm applying 50. It right now. CRUNCH50. Thank you. CRUNCH50. And, oh, look at that. I just got 50% off. So my book just went from $24.95 USD to $12.47. So
huge. Wellorderedfamily.com. Take advantage of it now. Thanks so much to Wellordered Family for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
The Simon Saris thread. Simon Saris, a lot of people, I feel like I started following him way back in the day. He's pretty big now. A lot of people follow him and look at his tweets. I've always been inspired by Simon Saris. But he had this really interesting thread. I'm going to read it and maybe comment on it. We'll stop once we get to the nugget. He says, this is when everyone was talking about the birth rate decline. But I think it has broader implications other than just the birth rate decline. I think it has implications for dating. I think it has implications for anxiety, depression, lack of religiosity, tradition, family structures, people struggling to get ahead. I think this to me summarizes everything.
Wow. It's the...
It's a lot.
It's the code.
It's the code that unlocks the matrix.
It's the red pill.
It says, I think some of the birth rate decline can be attributed to two forces happening everywhere. Increasing complexity and decreasing hardship. Life is both too complex and too good. Let me explain. Complexity. There are too many non-life decisions to make and navigate. What's the right healthcare plan? Did I pay my phone bill? My dishwasher broke and I needed an oil change last month. 115 IQ people are hardest hit. Am I really optimizing my IRA contributions perfectly with my health savings account? A lot of interventions don't help because they don't decrease complexity. Sometimes they increase it. And then he posts like a graph, which I'm not going to read.
I have heard this, that it's like that, yes, that people that are below average IQ have the world that we've built is like difficult for people who have a hard time understanding complex things. Like we were talking, correct, about this. It's like, I don't know how to add a row to Excel. You should, in the grand scheme of things, you should not need to know that. It's, right, actually pretty simple to like, you know, watch someone plant a seed or like smack a sword. You know, it's like, right, you just learn one thing and do it forever. But now it's like everybody has to understand how the healthcare industry works because we all have health plans. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's too much to ask, yes, of every single person.
He says 120 IQ people introduce complexity taxes on states that take decades to undo if they ever get undone. Most of the damage accumulates in 90 to 120 IQ people. So basically people think that they're establishing something helpful like healthcare or whatever any number of things are. But what it ultimately does is it just adds complexity tax, which I think is an interesting concept. So then on to the other half of the equation, which is decreasing hardship. This is good, but life is so comfortable now that people have a very weird frame of reference for hardship. The idea of serious trade-offs is more distant, and the trade-offs are greater than ever. We talk about this with the dating corner. For a medium smart person making a medium good salary, the amount of entertainment is larger than ever. Even the amount of career options are huge. All kinds of things are within reach that were impossible even for a prospective parent in the 1970s. Now, this is really interesting. A person in the 70s would consider insane luxury in terms of dining and housing and vacation and new cars. The median person takes for granted. Technology has enabled more with less. We got on average far more for far fewer working hours with relative ease. Like the fact that we have AC everywhere. In the 70s, it was like to have AC in a car.
It's like crazy.
It's like the nicest car on the block, you know? But it doesn't feel that life has gotten better because of the increased complexity. And people can't figure this out because the complexity in and of itself obscures it. And so you get comically backwards opinions like this one. It says, capitalism is like, okay, hear me out. What if instead of living in a nice, safe world where everyone's basic needs are met, we live in a bad, dangerous world where most people can barely feed themselves, but two people have 500 yachts? It really misses the point. Life is better than ever. And yeah, some people have 500 yachts. But it's complicated, right? It's not as, yes, simple as that, you know?
Like it's like I remember like a conversation with my grandfather when I was a kid of like,
mm-hmm,
so we have all this money. And he's like, yeah, and it's like, can't we just like, we can just print more of it, right? And he's like, no, it doesn't like work like that because, you know, it needs to be, you know, it needs to be like bad. It needs to like be, there needs to be created for some reason. Like, okay, so it represents something else. Because he talked about gold, and I was like, oh, mm-hmm, so like a dollar is like a piece of gold. And he was like, not anymore. It's like, it's like, you gotta look at the M1 money supply, and we have to make sure that we have, you know, it's like, this is stupid. The Federal Reserve is run by 14 people. It doesn't make any sense. It's like, I learned about the Federal Reserve in college. I was like, how did they come up with this? This is crazy. But yes, go on. Complexity.
This is the last point that I think is the thing that hits it home. So life is easier than ever with more options than ever. We work fewer hours than ever, but people still feel trapped because we can't sacrifice anything. Too little hardship makes it really, really, really hard to increase your hardship at all. Like to willingly take on...
It's harder than 1 to 2, yeah.
Exactly. To take on any extra suffering feels crazy. So the example he gives is going back to the 1990s middle class, which is lots of budgeting, never really eating out, not traveling very often, going on very few vacations. Like that's like, think of the Malcolm in the Middle family, right? Like living that way is not something a lot of people can tolerate. So they'd rather finance it, or they'd rather, you know, live. So there's no sense of trade-offs. And so then he brings it all the way back around to children. A lot of people say, I want children, but what they're really saying is, I want children with no trade-offs. And this has become the default frame, is that I will never be able to afford to have children. Well, no. Having a child is free, technically.
Yes.
So, like, you could have a kid at home for free. No one can stop you, right?
Yes.
But that's really hard. right? To like not have a doctor there. And to, there's a lot of risk. It's very scary, but there's a trade-off, right? Same thing with like, oh, I couldn't, I, we can never afford daycare. Oh,
and then on top of that, their food is free for a long time.
Right, exactly.
If you can breastfeed, which is harder, there's risks.
So then, yeah, and then he talks about a bunch of different things. It's the same thing with dating, right? We talk about this. I'll never find someone. I'm going to be single forever. Okay. You can find someone. It's just going to take a lot of work and time and effort. You have to put yourself in a position to be found. What does that mean? You have to live a public life. You have to go out. You have to meet people. You have to be seen, whether online or in person. You need to move to a place where someone you would want to marry would be, and try over and over and over and over again. What you're really saying is, I will never get married. I'll never meet the person I'm supposed to be with in my current situation where I'm like comfortable, you know, yeah. Which is further exacerbated by this, a post that I saw the other day about, I don't want to hear any advice by people who got married young. I was like, well,
why don't you maybe the people who got, who are good.
maybe the people who got married young know something that you don't, you know, and it's that they understood that this is a person that they got along with that they could marry, and they just decided to do it. Even though there's lots of sacrifice involved, and I understand your life has been very hard and you've been broken up with and it sucks, but like, it's just weird to think that you have nothing to learn from these other people.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting.
In no other thing in life are you like, I want to learn from the people who are in the exact same situation as I am.
Right. That's actually a lot of people do because it makes them comfortable. I just love this notion of everything is so complex. And everything is so easy, which means that adding on, like, our brains cannot seem to handle adding on anything that is more difficult because of all of the complexity. Like, if you're every day, if you're like fighting through bureaucracy and you have to like fix the dishwasher and you have to mow the yard and you have to fill up the gas and you have to renew your health insurance and then you have to drop the kids off at daycare and then you have to all the things you have to do for work. Know how to add rows to the Excel sheet and then do the two-factor authentication for the thing and then sign up for the new AI tool. There's so much you have to, it's so complicated. So then to think like, oh, if I want to have another kid, I'm going to have to cut back in. It literally breaks some people's brains to like have all of this like every day and then think of how can I add another layer on top of this? And they just say that they can't, right? Because they just give up. Go ahead.
And because there is added complexity to having kids that is somewhat artificial, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
you don't need the newest moo-moo to plug into your pom-pom that goes into the... The Shamu.
Do I need to go to a prenatal appointment every single week? Like, is that necessary?
No.
Do I need to stay at the hospital for 72 hours for you to do a million checks? Is this necessary? So the baby's a little yellow. Whatever. It'll grow out of it.
It'll buff.
Just smack it a couple times on the butt, make it cry. It'll be fine.
Some baby powder.
Yeah, just give it a little sun. It'll lighten up. But yeah, so that actually does help. But yeah, it's there's added complexity, right? And it's there to supposedly help.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying it in a really... I don't think you need to bring IQ into it because IQ is like kind of... It's not even... We're not even operating off standard deviations here. It's like average people are at 100. It's the midwits are making rules to help the low IQ, like the unintelligent people, not die. You have to replace your car seat every 7 years. It expires.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, because like it can sometimes wear and tear. And so we have this policy and we also have this system where you send us your address and you have to update us if you move so that we can let you know about a recall notice. It's not going to happen. I'm just going to, all right, that sounds too complicated. I'm just going to drive my child on my lap in the backseat. And that's what happens.
Yeah. Right.
Did you know that a lot of Americans don't use car seats? It's probably because it's just too complicated. It's too damn complicated to figure out. So they just don't do it.
Yeah. I think the IQ thing is important because it's, there should be, the world should not be built such that only the people who are able to digest the level of complexity that exists now are able to thrive. Like you shouldn't yes. have to be, I think IQ is helpful. It's like, this is one of the few conversations where IQ is helpful, I think, because
okay.
people with lower IQ, I'm not saying they're bad or evil or there's anything wrong with them, but if you struggle to sort data and like, organize what's important and what's not important and do like hypothetical situations and think like abstractly, which is what IQ yes. is. Not everybody can do that.
IQ measures which is rate good. Of learning.
Yes.
And so people who can learn quickly can figure out, oh yeah, it makes more sense to open a Roth IRA for my kid because I can, if I just start an LLC and I do this, I can do this. All right, great. And they'll be set for life. Awesome. But like it takes yeah. about in it. It takes about an hour or so to explain that to someone who does not learn as quickly as you do. Right. And I had that experience a couple weeks ago.
Because
my wife doesn't learn as quickly as I do. And that's just right. that's not how her brain works. She's more of like
exactly.
a visual person.
And I'm sure there's things that she knows that explaining to you would take an hour because you don't have all of the pre-learned sub skills. You know yes. what I mean? Like you're much more in that world than she is. Right, so a
I
lot
just
of
can't
that
come
stuff
up with
is,
an example right now because right. I don't care about those things as much because I'm selfish.
Which I also think is an indicator of being able to navigate complexity. Like if you can discard irrelevant information, then it's easier for you to be successful. Mm-hmm. It's easier for you to navigate this stuff because like I don't get, there's one thing that I've learned is I don't get worried or stressed about things because I know that if there's really a problem, I can just like call a number. And like, I might have to wait 30 minutes to like get to the right person, but then I'll get an answer. So I don't need to like stress about it, you know?
Yeah.
And like deadlines don't really exist because you can just like pay a fee most of the time. Like if it's really an issue, it's like, all right, I'll pay the fee.
Yeah.
Darn, you know? So it's like, but you learn these things as you go. So maybe it's not IQ. It's just like people who have learned. And I think a lot of people don't get for whatever reason, because of the way that they were raised, the environment that they're in, they don't get experience to navigating complexity.
Yeah, it might. It,
so maybe it's
yeah.
it's less IQ is maybe an easy way to just put it out there and say it. But I think there's plenty of people who are high IQ who have not been given the tools necessary to
sure
navigate the world. And so I think yeah. that's like wrong. So part of me is like, okay, charity should be such that we should make it so that everyone can navigate the world easily, right? To your point of someone should be able to look at the seed planter or look at the sword swinger and be like, oh, I can do that, right? All I need to do is go over here, talk to this guy, and then I can start planting seeds. And at the end of the day, he'll give me money and then I can go home, right? But we've put all these layers in between.
First, you have to
like,
give him your social security number and then he has to file a 1099 so that he can pay you as mm-hmm. a contractor. Right. Which is, are you a sole proprietor or are you an S corp? It's like, we're running into this with, I run into this with taxes. It's just so mm-hmm. freaking difficult to figure out. And yes. so I just am not exposed to it. You're probably right. It's probably less to do with rate of learning. That's probably a factor, but early exposure helps. So like the earlier yeah. you're exposed to bureaucracy, the easier it is for you to navigate it.
Right.
And you see this with people who are bad at taking tests. It's probably mm-hmm. it's less that you're bad at taking tests and it's more like you haven't taken enough tests. Because once Correct. You take more, you're going to get better at them. But it's like the problem is these complexities are introduced. So like the complexity of taking a standardized test is created to mm-hmm. measure kids and benchmark them and make sure that they're learning the right things. It's an overly complicated solution. It's incredibly stressful to yeah. what? Figure out if they know algebra?
Right.
I don't know. Like, to figure out what reading group to put him in,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, I know what reading group Leo should go in. It's actually more simple for me to just me and my wife to educate him ourselves with a couple of our friends back to abolishing the Department of Education. Yeah. This is
it's the same people who grew up
in my city.
I'm very excited for you. It's the same people who grew up that were like, why didn't they teach us in school how to do taxes? And it's you're expecting this complex thing to be made simple for you without any effort on your part. Like, you're expecting to go through the school system and for them to, you want the government to reduce complexity, which is not what government is for. Inherently, government makes things more complex by design to make it more difficult for bad actors to act most of the time. Right. It also has the byproduct of making it difficult for good actors to act a lot of the time. So it's a double-edged sword in that way. But this is people's issue. This is tied in with the whole Department of Government Efficiency thing. I think reducing the complexity of the bureaucratic machine is a very noble and good thing and will help a lot of people, because there's a lot of people in this country who spend most of their waking hours navigating the bureaucracy, navigating the complexity to get what they need. And it's like, that doesn't seem right. You know, that they should have to spend hours on the phone or hours waiting in line or hours going here, going there, getting this.
That
form,
even an
that
intelligent
form.
Person, that's the other thing. It's not a meritocracy. Right. A bureaucracy is not a meritocracy. It would actually be better. I think it would actually be better if it was just straight IQ. Like, anyone who's really smart can figure this out and ascend. And anyone who's low IQ, they don't. And it's like, they have lived fine lives. That would be a better situation than if you have IQ, if you're really smart, that's like permission to play. And you also just so happen to like have been in a situation where you see this with kids whose parents are entrepreneurs. It's like, I was 16 and I bought my first rental property. It's because they learned at a very early age, they were exposed to the complexities of the housing market and were able to navigate it at an early age. Mm-hmm. So it's like I remember during the first Trump administration, they were talking about reducing the tax code to, instead of books and books and books, something that can be summarized on the back of an index card. It's like, man, that would just be great.
Would be great. That was Herman Cain's whole thing.
That was Herman Cain's whole thing?
Yeah, before he died. From the coronavirus.
What happened to Herman Cain? Herman Cain died from coronavirus?
Yeah, many years ago. He was an anti-vaxxer, and so there was a subreddit dedicated to Herman Cain, getting the Herman Cain Award. And anytime someone died who had refused the vaccine, like on social media, people would post their like Facebook posts of like, I'm not getting the vaccine, F you, and then they would post their like obituary. It was very mean-spirited.
Yeah, it sounds like that sucks. One of my most viral posts from about, no pun intended, from about 2021 was, call me crazy, but I think if someone refused the vaccine and gets coronavirus, we should help them.
Yes.
People got very bad. They're like, no, we shouldn't waste resources on someone who wouldn't even do the basic human decent thing of, like, I don't know. That seems like dangerous. Wasting resources on saving someone's life.
So if someone, what if there's like someone who's maybe like young and they like break the law, should we like spend 70 years like supporting them through the penitentiary and recovery systems, or should we just
kill them?
Yeah. Like because it seems to me, it seems like you're saying that we should kill those people.
It seems like you're saying refusing the vaccine is the only thing that deserves the death penalty. That's what it sounds
like. Making a mistake makes you beyond help, which is not what you believe in other situations.
And I would like you to be consistent. Ethan, help, I'm drowning. I need to find land, perhaps an island, a Greek island, to find safety, both in physical and digital security.
You got your little flippers on?
Yeah, I got my little blue
snorkel. Swimming boy? You little snorkel?
Swimming? I'm like, help someone find me. I'm swimming in an ocean of privacy violations, and I need to find a haven in this digital ocean.
You're the type of guy that would go on an excursion in the Mediterranean and the boat would leave you behind. I just need you to know that. I hear you. I think the internet is getting more and more pernicious. They're making robots that talk and walk and pour drinks.
Pour beer.
And it's getting to be a little bit much. I mean, we're going to Mars, but at what cost? You know what I mean? And I think that each American, especially in the coming years when it's going to become illegal to be Catholic, we deserve our privacy. We deserve to be protected from government overreach and big companies that are spying on us, trying to target us with ads, trying to get us to spend our hard-earned dollars on their junk instead of on investing in a beautiful future for our families and our friends. Patmos Hosting Solutions can solve that. Not only do they protect you from big tech, not only do they provide a one-of-a-kind integrated hosting solution for your business, for your website, for your platform, whatever it is you need, but they will never censor you. They'll never take your data, even if they 100% disagree with you. Even if they think you're the worst person on the planet, they have that integrity, and that's what I really love about Patmos.
Yeah, Patmos has really helped us out over the past couple of months, setting us up on our website. We are believers. We practice what we preach. And so our podcast is secure on Patmos servers, free from any kind of external intrusion that might occur. And they got a great team. They'll walk you through setting it up. It's one-on-one service, which you're not going to get on any competitor web hosting services. You go to your whatever, your Wix space or your Wordly, whatever. They're not going to host your web. They're not going to walk you through hosting. You're going to have to set up some kind of nonsense. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to help you out. They're great over there.
If you tell them that we sent you, you get 10% off. Go to patmos.tech. Let them know that we sent you. Thank you to Patmos for sponsoring this episode of The Cringe. I want to bring this back to dating quick. This is hard for people. This is hard for people to understand. You got your rent and you've got your job and you've got your, you know, all these things. I'm thinking about people back in the day, like, I don't know. I'm thinking of the early 20th century where they would just be like, all right, I'm moving across the country now. Bye. And they would just like leave. Or people who say, we've talked about this before, the people who sailed across the ocean, immigrated to America, sailed across the ocean in search of a better life. That sounds really hard, but it was less difficult than staying where they were, which is crazy, right? If you think about that. And then maybe there was a passport. They had to put their name in like a book, I think, under Lady Liberty. They had to crawl up Lady Liberty and write their name in the book that she holds. And then
Ellis
Island, which does sound like a Fortnite place. And then, and then they just got to go to America and then they were just in America.
Yeah.
There was no passport or like social security number, or there was nothing, none of that stuff. You know, you didn't have to, you could just move and then you could just start farming. Isn't that crazy? Like to think that moving across the world was less complicated 100 years ago before all the things we have now than it would be today.
Yes.
This is just a weird thing to think about.
You would think that it would be less complicated. Yeah. And you could just like go to a city and you could like buy, first of all, you could get a house. So that's crazy. You could put a store underneath your house.
Yes.
And you could just sell stuff from it. Like in the movie Elemental, where they go to a new city, go to Element City, and they...
You could get a store under your house and you could hawk your wares to a customer. How about that?
Me when I hawk my wares to a customer.
Anyway. So people, I just don't, this is why I have very little sympathy. It's like, but I also have a lot of sympathy because you can't just say to someone, oh, just cut through the bureaucracy and do what you need to do to get to where you want to go. Because not everybody's wired that way. And not everybody has learned the things that I've learned. So that's why it's difficult in the dating corner to be like, just move. Because people can't see through the complexity, right? They don't want the trade-off. They don't understand that the trade-off is a necessary part of getting what they want. That's the thing. It's like, if you accept the trade-off, then the complexity ceases to matter because you're like, I want this thing more than I want the pain associated with getting this thing.
Yes.
And I don't think people are willing to do that by and large.
People don't want the complexity of going through the hospital system to have a baby. They right. also don't want the simplicity of, I'm just going to have a kid in my bathtub. And mm-hmm. a friend who's a nurse, I'm going to pay her $100 to deliver my baby.
Yes. Come on over, cut the cord, bury the placenta in the backyard.
I'm going to give you placenta tree going. I'm going to cook you a pizza and you're going to deliver my child. Yeah. We don't want the hardship.
Pick yourself up a Red Baron on your way over. Pop it in the oven.
A self-rising pizza, please. Pop that in the oven. I like that the person is picking it up themselves, ostensibly purchasing it on their own, and then bringing it to your house.
Hey, I'm in labor. If you want to eat, get yourself a pizza on the way
please
over here.
Please go to specifically get a Red Baron pizza. I will not have any DiGiorno's in this house.
If you bring me a Jack's pizza, I will give birth somewhere else.
If there's not a box around the plastic, I don't want it. If it's just plastic, I'm throwing it in the garbage.
The stock Walmart pizzas in just the plastic. Disgusting.
Gus and Eddie were wrong about Jack's Pizza. Yeah. They were wrong. They loved it too much.
Red Baron's the way to go if you're going to get frozen. You can get DiGiorno, but I won't respect you anymore.
Sorry. The long and short of it, I guess, to make something complex simple. I think the complexity shouldn't stop you from doing naturally human things. It's like the people who don't want to get married because they don't want to do the marriage prep. They don't want to go. They don't want to get the venue. They elope and they go to. It's like, we don't want to get married because it's so complicated, it's so expensive. Whatever. It's like, you're just make the complicated thing simple. And get rid of the bureaucracy. Like, don't even worry about it. You just don't navigate. Just do the hard thing, which is, you know, find a priest that will marry you, etc. I don't know. People don't want the sacrifice that comes with eschewing the safety of the bureaucracy. Because the complexity is also safe.
That's true.
You're like, someone is going to take care of me through this whole process.
And you have someone to blame if it goes wrong.
Yes. That's another big thing. You have someone to sue. So this is like, this is midwit world. Midwit love complexity. It makes it feel smart. It's why you see people. That's it's true. Why you see people commenting on a little anime character saying, you know, this really preponders the issuity of the modern age. Shut up. this eschews nothing. Eschews me. I'm done with this nonsense. It's like you're making something complicated that it's simple. It's a little anime.
Hawk Ishua.
This is midwit world. We're making something complicated that doesn't need to be. Wisdom is simple. Wisdom makes things simple. It's the
for midwittery? Is it just being
midwittery?
Just being a dunce? Oh, sophomoric.
Sophomoric. Yeah, okay. It's a wise fool. It's like, oh, you know a lot.
Because you're a sophomore.
Boy, are you telling us. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like, I remember when I was 1 year ahead in math, right? So I had geometry with some sophomores. I remember a girl turning around like, oh, yeah. Like, you're in biology. Biology is so easy compared to chemistry. And I was like, it's the second week of school. How is it already hard?
Dude, I wish I could be in high school now. Pause. But if I was
for normal reasons,
I would just be so different if I had my brain now. I'd be so funny if I was in high school now, because
a youth minister.
That's true. What I did. Well,
girls would like, and they would like talk about this boy, and I'm like, you don't understand. You don't understand now, but I need you to hear me when I say this. Yeah. He does not matter and will not matter to you in the future. You just got to forget him.
It's like, if that girl turned around and was like, chemistry is so much harder than biology, I would look at her. I'd be like, do you think if I drank that liquid on the teacher's desk, it would kill me? And then I would go up and do it. And I would look right at her and I would die. and I would die. And I would be the funniest guy to ever live in the high school because I would not only take down the know-it-all girl who pretends to not have studied, but you know she studied really hard, but I also would have shown that teacher for giving me a bad grade in biology. Man, I hate them.
Well,
I do think people are sophomoric. Simple. I think wisdom, being sophomoric, your favorite movie is Interstellar. You know?
You're right.
That's what it is. It's like, what kind of movies do you like? Oh, I really like Christopher Nolan movies. Oh. But then, this is the other problem with being, this is two sides of the coin. But then if you're like, well, my favorite director is Darren Aronofsky, and I love all of it. Yeah, but then that's also sophomoric in a different way.
Same kind of sophomore. I like Marvel movie. Marvel, yeah. My favorite movie is Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen.
Yes.
Exactly. Is wisdom. It's the bell curve meme.
Transformers really is.
2, Revenge of the Fallen, Interstellar.
There was a period of time where I thought I had to pretend that, some long, wordless foreign film was my favorite movie. Now I can just say, like, oh, it's a toss-up between Ocean's 11 and Transformers. You know,
two.
Transformers 2 is now Transformers 2 is worse. I can say that with confidence. When I was 12, though, we should watch all the Transformers movies.
We say that Patreon. About every freaking franchise.
I know.
Every
it'd be
single
fun.
One.
One day we'll do something cool on Patreon. You and me.
Anyway, this episode has been fun. Thank you to our sponsors. Ethan, we're going to continue this conversation on our bonus podcast that is now being recorded directly after the show. So
yes,
if you are looking for bonus content, wait a second, but the bonus podcast comes out before the podcast.
Yeah. And
so are we going to, we're going to record it now and then it's going to reference things that happened during the show.
Yeah.
And the patrons aren't going to know what happened in the show yet.
The patrons will be fine. We'll figure it out.
The patrons are a hearty crew. If you want the bonus podcast, if you want to hear what the conversation after the fact, we get a little crack a couple jokes, crack a couple beers, and and get a little loosey goosey and a little less guarded with our language. So if you want to join us there, Ethan. Do you have anything else for the people? I'm sorry.
What is happening?
I don't know what's happening.
You invite people to come to a bonus show and you lose all your, you get all flustered.
I lost all my gumption.
You're like a shy girl at the dance wanting to wanting me to come over and scoop you up.
Ethan does want to be back in high school. All right.
Dude, I was so cool. That's the thing. That's Spanish. All right, we'll see you guys in the bonus episode. Bye.
Thank you for being Catholic.